Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, August 24th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page XXXI, the first paragraph, What is the Solution? We're reading through two paragraphs ending with No Return to Alcohol. We'll be commenting on both those paragraphs. Today's readers are Terry S. reading the 12 Steps, Reggie O. reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Shelley E., Lynette P., and K.P. The share ID for Sunday, August 23rd, the special edition, is 15,205, 15205. And this morning's Monday, August 24th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 15,208. That's 15208. Our newcomer greeter for today is Amy K., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Terry S. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon. Happy to be here, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Terry S. And Reggie O., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Yes, thank you, Kathleen, and thanks everybody who's here this morning. This is Reggie O. in the Los Angeles area, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you, Reggie O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Sorry about that, you guys. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And I apologize for that. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page, shoot, I just walked away, sorry. XXXI. We're starting with the first paragraph. Which begins with, what is the solution? And we're reading through two paragraphs ending with, no return to alcohol. And we'll be commenting on both those paragraphs. So good morning, Shelley E. If you could get
Kathleen, press star 1 to unmute your phone, please.
Okay, I'm not sure what part you didn't hear, so.
I think we're just ready for Shelley. Go ahead. Apologies.
Okay, go ahead, Shelley. Thank you. So, Shelley, can you go ahead and start, get us started this morning?
I'm so sorry. I got muted, too. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. And here are our chapters. What is the solution? Perhaps I can best answer this by relating one of my experiences. About 1 year prior to this experience, a man was brought in to be treated for chronic alcoholism. He had but partially recovered from a gastric hemorrhage and seemed to be a case of pathological mental deterioration. He had lost everything worthwhile in life and was only living, one might say, to drink. He frankly admitted and believed that for him there was no hope. Following the elimination of alcohol, there was found to be no permanent brain injury. He accepted the plan outlined in this book. 1 year later, he called to see me, and I experienced a very strange sensation. I knew the man by name and partly recognized his features, but there all resemblance ended. From a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck had emerged a man brimming over with self-reliance and contentment. I talked with him for some time, but was not able to bring myself to feel that I had known him before. To me, he was a stranger, and so he left me. A long time has passed with no return to alcohol. Again, I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for letting me do the service. When I started reading this, gastric hemorrhage is the first thing I saw, and I thought, you know, I might not have had a gastric hemorrhage, but I've had my knees replaced. I've had, you know, a lot of things that medical problems that this disease has brought to me. And yet I continued until I was exposed to the steps. Nothing short of death was going to stop me. And so I'm very grateful that I was exposed to the Big Book. And the pathological mental deterioration, I have to say that I no longer cared if I lived. Life was not enjoyable. I wasn't suicidal, but I did question, you know, why am I even here? What does it even matter? I don't really care if I am here. So I'm grateful that I've come from that. Now, recently, I am unrecognizable body-wise, and that's okay. That's fine. I appreciate that, you know, but I've done that before. The biggest thing that's happened to me is I'm calmer. I enjoy life. I'm no longer trying to run the show. I lean into higher power. I let him do his job. And if I find that I think I might not be, I can ask him to come help me and be there for me. Living in steps 10, 11, and 12 have brought that joy of life back to me and given me a life that I never know existed. So with that, I'll pass, and I look forward to the rest of the meeting. Thank you.
Kathleen, please press star 1 to unmute your phone.
Okay, I'm unmuted. All right, thank you, Shelley E. Okay, so we are on page XXXI, the first paragraph. What is the solution? We're reading through two paragraphs ending with no return to alcohol, commenting on both paragraphs. And there is some background noise, so if you can make sure you're muted, please. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these two paragraphs who has not shared in the last 3 days?
Amanda.
Danielle J.
Danielle J. I didn't...
Irene B.
Anne M.
Andy.
Anne M.
Anne B.
Okay. Anne B.
Irene B.
I got you, Irene.
Okay, thank you.
Anne B.
I got you, Anne B. Okay, well, let's stop there. And if you could all please star 1 to mute your phone because we're getting a lot of background noise. So I have Amanda, I didn't catch your initial, Danielle J. I thought I heard an Ann M, Irene
yes.
B, and I heard an Ann B. Okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Amanda, please. Amanda, star 1 to unmute.
Hi, sorry about that. I'm yammering away here.
Okay, Amanda, you got muted again. So star 1 to unmute.
Hello, can you hear me?
Now I can, yes.
Okay, round 3. Hi, I'm Amanda B. from Toronto, Canada. And I was just saying, I guess God wants me to keep saying it. I'm so grateful that there's a meeting that I could just jump onto.
Amanda, you went out again.
Hi, I don't know what to do. I'm not doing anything and it seems to be muting me. So any instruction?
I'm sorry.
I'm going to try once more. I'm sorry.
Let's try again. Sorry, Amanda.
I'm going to try once more here. I'm Amanda B. from Toronto, Canada, and I'm grateful to be here. What this paragraph says to me, can you still hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. Is that we're cuckoo in our disease, we're just cuckoo. And we're trembling, despair. I really relate to that. Anything that I do that triggers my disease, and for me, it's not just foods. It's more the compulsive behaviors that trigger me. Weighing myself, over-exercising, eating too much, eating a little bit of food off my plate, those kinds of things used to trigger the heck out of me. And the way that I know if it's an allergy or an allergic behavior, as I like to call them, is if it triggers my disease and talks about this man being trembling. And then later, it's like just really two short or three short paragraphs full of hope that people started to see him differently. They could barely recognize him. And I just pray to God that this is me. And I've had people say that to me, like, you know, you're so different. And if I don't have people say it directly to me, I see it in my kids. I see it when I get down on my knees and stare in their eyes and say, what is it you need? What can I do for you? And when I make that decision in step three, like, okay, God, I'm all yours. I'm just supposed to be of service and you're going to take care of me. Then I am okay. I'm unrecognizable because I'm living my life in a whole different way, that from a basis of I'm safe and I'm lovable versus the world's out to get me and everything's bad and this is going to go terribly. And looking at the kids with school, and we're starting school in Canada in person, and everyone's like, what should we do? And all I can think of is, God, help me to stay centered and I'll deal with whatever comes instead of trying to figure out what's going to come. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda B.
Yay. We
okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yay. Thanks so much for your patience there. Okay, I have Danielle J. followed by Ann B. Good morning, Danielle. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone on the line. Danielle J., compulsive overeater in Bellevue, Washington. And, you know, I think I did have a gastric hemorrhage or something close to it. And that's where my disease brought me. You know, we went through the whole cancer scare and, you know, all sorts of things. And I was, you know, kind of medical mop up and, you know, a real drain on the whole system in many ways, mentally, emotionally, physically, everything. They will recover, and so will my daughter. But I had put, she had written me a little note, and I had put it in my God box, and I was taking out my God box and, kind of letting that go to God. And I found it, and it said, Mommy, something to the effect of, Mommy, you were, because I actually was not conscious, Mommy, you were asleep, and I put a blanket over you, and I did something like put water next to you or something like that, and I've gone to bed. And she was like six. And so she just had to grow up so early because she had a mom who, as much as I was there, I was always there. I was never not there physically, but I just wasn't there emotionally, and I wasn't there in a way that a little six-year-old needed it. And it caused a lot of strife, but I do have to say that she's 22 now, and she came to visit us and stayed with us for a couple months, and she's gone back home now. But for the first time, it just seemed like all was forgiven, and she's okay. You know, she's an adult, and she's doing okay. And so that's all God. That's all God. And there are problems, and I just was texting a fellow, and I just, you know, it's like I just pray that God works in her life. It's just like he just works, you know, just takes these things and turns them into something good. So anyway, I don't know. It's been a crazy life, and I'm certainly, I think, unrecognizable, and I couldn't be more grateful for that and for this meeting and for all of you. So thank you so much for allowing me to share. God bless. Bye.
Thank you, Danielle J. Okay, Ann M., you're up next, followed by Irene B. Go ahead, Ann. star 1 to unmute Ann M.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
My name is Ann M, and I'm calling from Ireland today. And I'm really excited that I actually got through, because I tried a couple of times last week. I'm very bad with technology, so I'm really grateful. When I read that sentence first, from a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck had emerged a man brimming over with self-reliance and contentment, I kind of wondered, like, we're told that, you know, reliance on self has led us here. And I suppose I'm trying to figure out the difference between, I suppose the program gives me self-reliance rather than reliance on self. I think there's probably a subtle difference. And I suppose control as well. At the moment, I'm really having to let go and let God. Someone else referred to going back to school. I'm due to go back as a teacher on Thursday to school, and, you know, usually I would be really high at this time, and I'd have my timetable in advance, and I'd be trying to plan every moment of every day and control every aspect of my working day. And I suppose this year, and I'm hoping that what I've learned in program since I got sponsored with the last 6 months will really help me to, I'm praying that God will allow me to meet calamity with serenity, because there's a lot of hysteria and a lot of media noise about the return to school, and I just want to keep that sense of serenity that I'm getting from time to time from the OA program. And I love the fact that I'm on a tiny dot of an island away across the water from America, and I can reach out on calls and get someone from Germany and someone from America and someone from Dubai, and there's no preliminaries. We're straight into program talk. We're straight into tool talk. And it's that sense of connection. And I really, really want to keep that sense of connection when I go back to work, because I can let it consume me and it becomes my false god. And just thank you so much, all of you, for being there today.
Thank you, Ann M. Okay, Irene B., you're up next, followed by Ann B.
Good morning. This is Irene B. Thank you so much for your service. There is a solution if we plan, if we follow this plan, the hopelessness, no sign of permanent damage after removal of alcohol, cool, very cool. I relate to it all, and I see this as a promise, because soon it will be 41 months for my abstinence from bulimia. And like Harlan says, now that I'm not eating, I feel much, much better. I mean, now that I'm not binging and purging, I feel much, much better. I feel my fear better, my anxiety better, all the things that I use food as a solution. I use food to numb me from all of that. Now I get to feel it. And before, with the food, I just kept numbing, and I lived in misery, desperately trying to numb myself, to not feel, and to not realize that that's what I was doing. All I knew is that I wanted to eat, and I had no idea why. I didn't know that I wasn't feeling my feelings. Didn't know that at all. Didn't know that I was afraid of them. And when somebody told me that, I said, that's hogwash. How can you be afraid of feelings? That's ridiculous. I mean, gosh, I'm not afraid of feelings. What's there to be afraid of? Well, I didn't know what it was, because I never allowed myself to feel it. Since infancy, I have reason to believe that I started disassociating from infancy. newborn baby. And so now I get to feel, and the promise is this radiance. If we work this program, and so I'm working the program. But my experience is not radiance. That's the promise. I have frozen, apparently, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Apparently, I freeze and I fawn. And I avoid. And I want to stick my head in the sand and pretend that life isn't happening. And by the grace of God, I'm not binging and purging. So I have a life.
Time, please.
Okay, I will pass with that. I'm just grateful that I have a life.
Thank you, Irene B. And Ann B., before we take you, I just want to remind everyone that we are on page XXXI, the first paragraph, beginning with what is the solution. We're reading through two paragraphs today, ending with no return to alcohol. And go ahead, please, Ann B., and I'll be taking some names after Ann B., if you'd like to share on those paragraph. Go ahead, Ann.
Hi, this is Ann B., compulsive overeater. I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 15 years. And I'm always struck in this paragraph by the fact that Bill W. couldn't be recognized. The subtext is that it's about Bill W., I guess. And, you know, I've had that experience after I lost 45 pounds or 50 pounds. Everybody started saying to me, you look fantastic. I was puzzled, and I was talking to someone in my religious group. I said, you know, I only weigh a few pounds less than what I weighed in college. And when I was in college, I didn't have wrinkles. I didn't have gray hair. And nobody told me I looked fantastic. And she said, well, it used to be, and she, this is somebody who had known me for a long time, and she said, well, it used to be that you were always looking down, and you never made eye contact with anybody, and now you look up and make eye contact with us and smile so we can tell that you're beautiful. And it made me think of the promises, I think it's after step five that you'll be able to look everyone in the eye. And I know when I first came in here, and I still sometimes have that feeling, if I make eye contact with someone, they're somehow going to, I'm going to be more vulnerable to attack. You know, that people are really out to get me. And I came in here believing that people wanted to put me on a starvation diet and convert me to their religion. And I realized when I was here after a while that that wasn't true. They wanted me on a healthy food plan, and my religion was my business. And as I came, you know, and the business of sharing, doing the fifth step, and listening to other people sharing caused me to have a higher level of trust of people in this program and people in general. I'm still not the world's most trusting person, but I'm much more trusting than I was, much more vulnerable, willing to make myself vulnerable, much more willing to make eye contact. And, you know, I have had a couple of people who knew me when I first came into program say that they consider me one of the miracles of program. You know, and when I look at, for instance, people in program and people, I have a barber who has, who did the surgery but not program, and I look at them, her, in comparison with people who have lost the weight in program, and the difference is in the eyes. You know, the barber, her eyes are still dead. And the people who have really done this program, their eyes are sparkle and shine because they are in conscious contact with their higher power. They have cleaned their side of the street. So I'll pass.
Thank you, Andy. Okay, we're on page XXXI, the first paragraph. What is the solution? Reading through two paragraphs, ending with no return to alcohol. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day. in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Callie T.
Was it Callie T?
Patty.
Oh, Patty. I thought I recognized your voice, but it didn't sound. Okay, yeah. Thanks, Patty.
Thank you.
Zane W.
Zane W.
Joni C.
Joni C.
Joni C. Yep.
Joni C. Joni. Okay, Joni. Can take a few more. This is your opportunity. Okay. We'll start with these three then. Patty T, Zane W, and Joni C. Go ahead, please, Patty T.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, Kathleen, for your service. And hi, everybody. This is Patty T from Southern California, recovered today by the grace of God. I'll tell you what, I didn't have any physical problems. Even at 265 pounds, which was my top weight, I still had perfect cholesterol, like under the 200 or whatever it is, and I had normal blood pressure. Just one of those lucky people, but I knew that the pain in my ankles was so great, and I puffed and huffed so much trying to walk up hills that I knew, and I'm talking moderate hills, okay, downtown LA, that I could drop dead of a heart attack any second, and that was really clear to me, and I couldn't stop eating. The biggest thing that happened to me was the fact that I lost a life, literally a lifetime, in this disease. I ate because of my fear of people, places, and things. Of all the things I didn't know and was so sure I couldn't learn. And, just all of that malady that's in my head, that selfishness, that self and self-centeredness that drives the disease, right? And the food allergy and the obsession of the mind, believing all of it. And so when I walked into these rooms at the age of 51, I had no life. I had no friends locally to speak of. I had my job and the drive-through windows that I visited daily, at least twice. That was my life. And all of my dreams, all of the things that I had planned to do in my life had basically just dissolved. And then I got in this program. And within weeks, my life turned back on. And I can't even tell you. But it took me until 2 years ago, when I had bottomed out, literally bottomed out emotionally, and realized that my head was the problem, that this disease was in my head, and that I couldn't walk another step, live another minute in that kind of thinking, when I finally surrendered and asked God to help me live, just to help me live, forget the weight, just to help me live. And then 2 weeks later, I got on this phone line, and I've been on this meeting every day since, and it has helped me, and I'll wrap up, create a recovery and an abstinence and relationships with others that I never imagined could happen for me. So keep coming back. If you're new, keep coming back. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. Okay, good morning, Zane W. You are up next, followed by Joni C.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Zane W. here in Arizona, Phoenix specifically. I'm a compulsive overeater, and it's good to be here. I appreciate everybody's service, and, you know, I was actually just instructed by my sponsor to go back through the doctor's opinion after I, you know, took my will into my own hands and tried to white-knuckle it for several weeks, leading to, you know, breaking my abstinence and just definitely mental deterioration and you know, bodily, just physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, it all got messed up. And so I think today is day 8 of new abstinence. I'm very grateful for that. And I was just reading this section last night, actually, so it's good timing. I can just say that when I even, you know, I've been in the program for 3 years, and I've definitely experienced a lot of recovery and healing and growth, and yet, you know, I still, for whatever reason, have the ability to just drop it for a few weeks to a month. And that scared me because I didn't know when I would have the willingness to kind of reengage, but it just took pain. And even though I wasn't binging the way that I did before the program, and honestly, for all intents and purposes, from a nutritional or physical perspective in general, what I was eating was not all that off from what would be recommended. The way that I was eating and the amounts, it still just messed me up. And I'm grateful that I had enough pain to at least have some more humility and reengage, because definitely in withdrawal, but I definitely would rather be in withdrawal than, you know, in the disease. So appreciate any prayer and connection. I'm just taking it one day at a time and still very, very, very weak, and I'll always be weak and powerless, but very fragile abstinence. I recognize that. So I'm just praying for solid day today. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Zane W. Okay, before I take you, Joni C., we are on page XXXI, the first paragraph. What is the solution? Reading through two paragraphs ending with no return to alcohol. I'll be taking some more names after Joni C., so be ready. So go ahead, Joni.
Hi, this is Joni C. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm Joni C. from Madison, Minnesota, small town Madison, Minnesota, and I'm so grateful to be here. I ran into who I kind of consider the love of my life back years ago, after I had my first gastric bypass and I'd lost some weight, but I was still way overweight. And he did not recognize me. And I was too ashamed to even say hi to him. That was just overwhelming. And I'm just so grateful now. People say I look great, and I feel great. I feel good about myself. I feel good about eating healthy and not purging, and just eating like a normie for a change. Only with God's giving me the strength to follow my food plan. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joni. Okay, I'm taking some more names. Who else would like to share?
Larry G. from California.
Larry G.
Maria R.
Melanie C. And who came in after Melanie?
Maria R.
Deborah S.
Maria R. Deborah S.
Linnea B.
Linnea B.
Colleen N.
Was it, what was the N? Colleen?
Colleen.
Okay, let's stop there. So I have Larry G., Melanie C., Maria R., Devorah S., Linnea B., and Colleen N. Good morning, Larry. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Kathleen, and also all my other fellow Vision members. My name is Larry G. I'm from Northern California. Oh, my God. How much richness can come out of one paragraph? I would have never believed that could be part of a meeting where we could spend just the entire meeting on one paragraph and so much would come out of it. He accepted the plan. He had lost everything worthwhile in life, was only living, one might say, in drink. Oh, my God, I can't tell you how much in denial I was before I got into Visions. I had this badge of honor. It's like, hey, I'm maintaining a 100-pound weight loss. I can hike long distances. I can backpack. I can ride a bike. I can swim. My cholesterol is at a 150, triglycerides 60, 70. My doctor says I have a heart of a four-year-old. I mean, that was my badge of honor, but yet I was binging my brains out once or twice a week, and in the end, I lived for that binge. And I've got a fragile amount of days, and I've been in since May 17th this year. Fragile. And I didn't realize how insidious this disease is because I can now see probably 3 days out of my week, you know, a couple of days leading up to the binge, a couple of days leading after the binge. If you calculate that out, that's a loss of 112, 115 days a year. Lost, gone forever because of the disease. My knee, even though I don't need a knee replacement, I'll never again be able to hike, backpack up and down high mountains. Never again. My brain is starting to clear up. Just today on this phone, I realized from a member sharing that, hey, it's just not the food, Larry, that could trigger you into compulsive eating. It could be the compulsive food behaviors, like, for example, changing the plan of eating. You know, when I submitted the plan of eating to my food to my sponsor, Vision sponsor, I feel I'm going to change it, add a little bit more smoothie, a little less soup, right? Well, that could be a compulsive food behavior that could trigger me into a relapse. Anyway, I'm like astounded by what I'm learning and open to learn and to receive and the changes are being made, not just around the waist belt, the waistband, but also in my mind and heart and spirit. Thank you so much for service. I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. Good morning, Melanie C. You are up, followed by Maria R.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I was thinking about all that folks are saying today, and they hit those really, really precious parts about things that have happened to me as a result of the 12 steps on a chronic food gut or food addict like I am. But a kind of a lighter side, I wanted to share a little bit about the physical evidence. One is that, this elastic suit that my higher power gave me didn't spring back so well. So there's some evidence of that. Maybe the doc would have noticed that if he saw me. But the mental piece is quite frankly well designed to have my board of directors guide me into a new way of living, which has been very helpful. And we're still working on it today. We meet regularly to see what the heck they're going to do with Melanie today. But one of the first physical things I thought was kind of fun. Oh shoot! I should have set my timer. I bet you did, Kathleen. After some time of losing some weight. Thank God I've been able to maintain over 165 pound weight loss. When I had been out shopping with my husband and he went his place to get what he needed to do and I went off in another direction to get what I needed to do and we were going to meet up into a different special place so we could get back together again. And he couldn't find me. He could not find me, and I was standing right in front of him. And so, of course, you know, I had to kind of play a trick. So I kind of walked away and walked back and walked through, and then I got a little bit peeved. He couldn't see me. But the point of the matter is that you can't see somebody at 300 pounds and somebody at 113 and know who they are anymore. He was embedded in his mind, the silhouette. of who and what I was and what I looked like. And we just cracked up about that. And that's one of the blessings of this whole thing, in truth, that there was a transformation. And thank goodness today, there's still some work going on the inside. That's what keeps me coming back, keeps me understanding that I need a higher power, that I'm, that the principles of this plan is that there is recovery from disease. And the other piece that happens to have this hook for me is that I need this recovery. I need this recovery to be able to function every day. And the fellowship within that helps me get access to my higher power, or my higher power have access to me. The other funny story was one of the first times after losing this weight, we had all gone out bowling. A group of us had gone out bowling. And I picked up that bowling ball like I did every other time when I was 300 pounds. And I like to throw myself down that lane because I didn't compensate for the difference in growth between what I was and what I had become. And we all laughed about that too. Some of the lighter things about this program and what a miracle that physical part is of this particular recovery. But what is significant is the access to the 12 steps practiced on a daily basis, because it's an essential requirement on my head and my mind that gives God access to transform the thinking part so that my insides are getting better. Outside, I can act like a decent human being, but the insides are starting to come in alignment with both of those things, and that's the brilliance of this deal, the brilliance. So stick around long enough, because it'll happen to you. Pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. And I apologize, we're not going to have time for everyone, but go ahead, Maria R., and you may be our last share, but be ready to board just in case. So go ahead, please, Maria.
Hi, this is Maria R., compulsive overeater in New York City, and this reading gives me so much hope. I joined the program 6 months ago, and I have lost 40 pounds. And my food is good, and I'm feeling better, but I still have a way to go. So just reading this and listening to all the shares of what is possible makes me feel very hopeful and very grateful. And I want to say how grateful I am for this particular meeting, Vision. It's just wonderful, just listening to everybody. It's the best thing, and it helps me for my recovery so much. Thank you very much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Maria R. Okay, Deborah S., good morning. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, and thank you, everyone on the line. This makes this meeting possible. My name is Deborah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. So, you know, me too. There was a very big physical transformation. I lost 150 pounds in this program. I was, you know, morbidly obese, as the doctor wrote on my thing. And, you know, for a long, long time, my own mother, you know, she would look past me and not recognize me. Or I remember being at a family gathering, and my sister comes over to me, and she says, "Oh, which side of the family are you from?" Like, you know, not knowing, you know, that we're on the same side, Carol, my sister, and, you know, it's me. And so, you know, there are a lot of funny parts, you know, funny things about that. But more than that, you know, today, and I did lose my job over this. I was so heavy, you know, my school didn't want to, I wasn't given a class, and I went into another, I started to drive a school bus for a few years because I was so out of control and in the disease, and I wasn't capable of being in a classroom. And thank you, God, today I have my class back. And, you know, it's been many, many years since, you know, I've lost this weight, and I'm not getting it any. People are not telling me, "Wow, you look great. You know, look at you." It's like, you know, that has left. But you know what I do get? You know, instead, I get a phone call from the administrator of the school and saying, "Listen, I'm calling you because I know, you know, you're the master teacher over here for this grade. I want to know, like, what's your opinion on this or what's your opinion on that?" And I'm like, "Oh, look at that. She's calling me? Like, wow." And I'm, you know, that's what I'm getting. People are coming to me, gravitating to me, to look to me, like, what do I think in this whatever's going on. Or I realized today, like, you know, I get to show up today, you know. I have an elderly mother. I get to go to see her on a weekly basis and show up and do service for her or for my children. You know, put my stuff aside, you know, so I can be there for others. And That is a gift, and that's because I hear on this program I have to get out of myself. That's all about, you know, working the steps is getting out of myself and developing a relationship with God, absolutely, and it develops a relationship with people. You know, I don't live anymore with the shades pulled down and the phone off the hook and not want to deal with things around. Today, I'm living life today how God wants me to be. I'm showing up, doing service, getting out of myself. And giving of myself, and people want to be around me. How cool is that? You know, so the transformation is great, and I'm really grateful for it, but it's, the deeper part of it is the insides, you know, what's going on inside and how God is, you know, how God is in my life today, each day. And with that, I'll pass, and thank you so much.
And thank you, Devorah. Okay, and thank you everyone who shared today. Especially thank you to Team Monday, Terry S., Reggie O., Shelley E., Lynette P., KP, Amy K., and Leslie M. Thank you all for your service this morning. And we are now going to close with a reading from on page 164. And KP, if you could please read a vision for you, please.
Good morning. My name is KP. I'm from Malden, South Carolina, gratefully recovered for today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.
Thank you.